Hi, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jay.
And you're listening to episode 32 of the Salty Mother Clutchers podcast. If you could give a new rider a tip or a trick or advice, what would it be?
Best advice for a new rider is don't buy a Harley Sportster. By far the best advice you can give a new rider. Yeah, avoid all temptation to get a Harley Sportster.
That's a whole topic on its own there, isn't it?
We should just do a topic that's just on like how you probably don't want a Harley Sportster.
So I was going to ask you this question about like what, you know, if you could give one piece of advice to a new rider, what would it be? Mm. And I kind of pre-planned that I was going to ask you that and I never thought to myself what it would be, but yeah. I don't know if I could give like one piece of advice, but I would say like one, don't be glamored into thinking that you need to buy a Harley or a large bike for your first bike in order to like fit in.
Yeah.
Because literally you're a poser. So yeah. You'll never fit in by doing that, but just fucking chill.
Yeah.
You don't need the biggest name brandiest bike to get started.
I guess that's more or less what I'm also trying to say. Cause like Sportster is like probably one of the biggest like poser bikes you can buy straight out of the gate for sure. If a Sportster is your first bike, you are a douchebag.
Yeah.
Like guaranteed.
It's a lot of people.
A lot of douchebags out there.
There sure is. Any other advice you'd give a new rider?
I mean, like, take the course, obviously.
Said that a lot, actually.
Like, yeah, just take a riding course. Safety course. Your friends and your other, like, riding group people, they can't be trusted. They already have, like, a slew of bad habits that are just, like, awful, awful things. So, don't trust them. And, like, go learn this shit on your own. And, like, you know, get a proper course. And you can form your own opinions after the course. Because if you don't have that foundation to base your opinions on, then you're really basing it on nothing.
Yeah. So you're basing it on the opinions of douchebags.
Yeah. Yeah. And how you think people are going to perceive you as like riding. So yeah, just, take the course.
Yeah. Sure.
Definitely. That's a definite piece of advice, I would say.
We started this podcast almost a year and a half ago, and I don't know how many times you've told people just take the course.
Yeah. Like I might take it again. Just for fun.
I have had people in the past tell me that they just can't justify taking the course because it's like $550. Okay, that's fine. You don't want to invest in your personal safety and life.
It's just not cool, man.
Yeah.
It's just not cool. So, like, yeah, that's... I mean, those are the two big things for me. Yeah, just take the course and don't buy a Sportster. Beyond that, like, I think everything else is pretty... should be pretty self-explanatory. Like, you know, don't ride too fast. Be careful. Practice in a parking lot. Shit like that. Like, you know, for lack of better words, don't bite off more than you can chew.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that it's important if you find yourself in a position to be a mentor for a new rider that I think you have the responsibility to explain what types of bikes you can handle as a new rider and why that's the case. Mm-hmm. So it might not just be like the CCs. Like it might not just be like, don't get an 883 because you're a new baby, whatever. Like, cause yeah, I'm sure lots of brand new riders can ride an 883 just fine. And they've seen it happen. But like, there's other things like the weight of the bike, the height of the bike, where is the weight of the bike?
Yeah.
Like, Michaela was on the podcast like last year and she was explaining like how she didn't feel comfortable on like cruiser style bikes because she didn't have that kind of upper arm strength in like lifting the bike up off its like kickstand and shit.
Right.
But like shoulder strength, like something about like the whole like lifting, moving the bike.
Yeah. The weight's definitely like in most cruisers, especially like modern like metric cruisers, they're like the weight's more like ahead of you.
Yeah.
You're kind of sitting behind it in a weird way. So like it's definitely different.
Yeah. I think like, you know, if you're mentoring someone, like explaining like some of the real fucking normal ass pieces of what makes a motorcycle and what makes different motorcycles and what fits different humans. Like there's no perfect formula, but I can say this. everyone doesn't fit a Harley Sportster.
Oh, fuck no. Yeah, not a chance. Like, when we started riding, we rode the Kawasaki 454 LTD, which is, like, 1984 or 5?
5.
1985. I'm 6 feet tall. Like, I didn't fit on that bike.
Yeah.
Like, it was a sweet bike to ride, but, like, no, it was not a great bike for me.
Well, even so, I'm just shy of 5'9", and I looked like an ogre on that bike.
Yeah.
But you know what? For a first bike, like, having all that, like, leg room when you put your feet down on the ground and having all that movement and being able to, like, stabilize yourself probably was pretty easy and awesome.
Yeah. And I think it wasn't, like, that bike was probably, like, a good bike to learn on, but, like, for me, a bit awkward. It wasn't until I got on the 550 LTD where, like, it's a lot higher seat height. The weight of that bike, it's not in front of you like the 454. It's more, like, under your seat because it's, like, a... call it like a super bike model. It's like a kind of a hybrid between like a early sport bike model and a like cruiser kind of.
Yeah.
So like the weight is more of like, it's more like under your butt.
Yeah.
Than it is like in front of you. And the pegs are higher up. So you could lean into turns a lot easier. You could throw the weight around a lot easier with that because it's literally just under you. But, you know, from that, we went to, like, you know, the Virago, which is the exact opposite again. It's all the weights in front of you, and it's just, it's, and the pegs are super low. Like, it's.
Yeah, the weight is in front of you. Your seat's way lower.
Yeah.
That's another thing. And, like, yeah, everything's just kind of lower feeling.
Mm-hmm. And, like, we probably should say, like, to distinguish the fact that we're talking about, like, new riders that are riding, like, road bikes. We're like this. We're not really including like people that ride like dirt bikes and things like that because in a lot of those cases where like you start riding super super young,
yeah,
like this may not really apply to that. You're not going to get a 6 year old on a Harley Sportster, probably not.
Well,
as far as riding dirt bikes, I don't care how old you are or like what you're doing. Like, yeah, just jump on a dirt bike and go.
That's
my recommendation.
I literally just had like visions of like douchebags being like, oh, you're such a little pansy. Like, you don't fit on a Sportster yet. You'll never be a biker till you fit on a Sporty.
What are you, a 5.5-year-old? No, you're a 6-year-old. So what are some other things?
A big thing for me would be speed limits. And... I know that the more comfortable you are with riding, like, you're probably going to do a little bit of speeding. But here's the thing. I've caught myself on a few group rides with riders that were brand new, like, yesterday new.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really weird thing that happens where people won't go fast enough. They just won't go fast enough. Yeah. And I don't think they realize that if, like, they just think, like, well, if I'm not going fast enough, then, like, everyone can just go around me and I'm not a big deal. And it's like, dude, you're a human being on a tiny broomstick on a fucking highway. They're not going around you. They're driving over top of you.
Yes.
And all of your little friends do.
You need to move it.
You need to move it, move it.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I got a dose of that, like, early on when we were riding with Big Al, the very first time we met Big Al and Chantel.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, vividly, we got back from the ride and Chantel just being like, do you ever go fast? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm just driving, casual ride. Like, no, because I was not going fast.
Right.
I was riding, like, a very cautious person, and meanwhile, she's on my back tire the entire freaking time.
Yeah.
So that moment I was like, oh, I don't ride fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started following Big Al and then we rode too fast.
We rode too fast. So we kind of overcompensated. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't understand if people just like, they literally don't get it. Like, I have no idea, but I was once on a ride, just like three people, like me and two other people.
Mm-hmm.
I was leading. I'm not a speed demon by any means, and especially in a group, like, I pretty much sit at the speed limit, maybe just a smidge higher than the speed limit, and I just need you to go the speed limit, right? Yeah. And I was on this ride once with two other people, and the newest rider just was going, like, say the speed limit was 80, they were going like fucking 50. So I kept going, and then I'd slow back down because I'd lose the other two because that person kept slowing down too much. And then the next thing you know, you're on these backcountry roads. It's 80. People are going like a buck 10.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, some truck would come up, crest a hill, and then be on like the fucking tires of motorbikes. And it's like, that is fucking unsafe, man. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Keep up or stay home.
Yeah. Like when you're at the point where like farm equipment is passing you.
Yes.
And like you probably should be riding with four ways on. Like you're going too slow, chick.
And this was like, this was not like a busy, this wasn't busy roads. This wasn't a busy time of year. Just, you know, whatever. And it was early in the season. So fair enough. Probably truckie didn't even realize there'd be bikes out. But still, you got to go the speed limit. You're going to get killed and you're going to kill your friends.
Yeah. And I think that's also valuable for like whenever you're in higher traffic areas, like where you have multiple lanes and stuff, especially. So like if you're not keeping up with traffic, like I like to keep up and go a little bit faster than traffic. So I'm never in someone's blind spot for very long.
Yeah.
So if I'm coming up on a car and I feel like I'm just riding behind them and I'm just not moving.
Yeah.
I want to accelerate a bit more so I can get a little bit past them and like just kind of inch around them. So like I'm more visible.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, it's important that you're up to speed because people are just going to dodge around you dangerously all the fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going at least the speed of the traffic, if not a little bit faster, you're making yourself more visible and putting you're getting yourself out of any positions that could put you in someone's blind spot, essentially.
And just because, like, maybe you're riding the speed limit and you're riding well and like you're like in a place where like a car is going to pass you or cars are going to pass you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect that they're going to get out of your lane to pass you. Like don't expect that you own your lane, though you do. I've been passed fucking hundreds of times with people's passenger tires right next to me.
Yep.
Like what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah, yeah, they don't treat you like a like another car on the road.
Yeah, they don't treat you like a full-size like, vehicle. They just think they, as long as they're around you by 5 inches, then that's enough. Anticipate that. That blows. Yeah.
And like, I mean, I think in a way, like, there's a lot in common with like a, you know, even though I fucking can't stand them, cyclists on the road. Like, they're honestly, they're not given enough room.
No.
When cars are going by cyclists on the road. Like, they're just inches away from these people because they just don't fucking care about them. And they don't care if they die. So people kind of treat motorcycles the same way.
Yeah.
Like, they, as long as they're, like, a couple inches and they're clearing you, then, like, you're fine.
Yeah.
But, like, no. That's not fine.
That's not fine.
No.
This is a fucking floating human being.
Yeah.
Like, not protected by a shield of steel.
Yeah, and, like, bikes move around a bit, like, especially when you're going at those speeds.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there could be a bird flying at you, a bee, like, something that just moves you over, like, by a foot or something, like...
Or depending on the vehicle that's passing you, like, they could be sucking you. Like, there's a lot of weird shit that happens.
I mean, I would say, like, definitely in general, like, you would have more experience with some of these new riders than me.
Yeah.
I tend to not put myself in those positions because I don't have the patience.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just a rude, mean person. And I just can't deal with that shit.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I was thinking with your statement there, it's like every time I do it and I ride with new people that are just like, that haven't a clue.
Mm-hmm.
I get the experience personally of what types of situations I will no longer put myself in.
Yeah.
And, you know, the next time XYZ happens, I'm just peeling off. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I'm not dying for you today. Sorry.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I guess that's another good piece of advice for any like new rider is, don't buy a Sportster. Don't be intimidated into buying a Sportster to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be intimidated into going on group rides right away.
You shouldn't be on a group ride right away.
No, you shouldn't be. Not at all.
You should not be. Go fucking ride by yourself for a while. Get in the parking lot for 3 months. Like, I don't fucking care what it takes.
Yeah.
Do not join a group ride as soon as you learn to ride.
Yeah, I think you have to be comfortable riding solo by yourself in traffic for a while until you can actually ride confidently with other bikers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a friend to ride with here and there is not a big deal, but like some of these group rides that are like, you know, very organized and very disciplined riding. If you don't have that discipline and you're not riding up to par, you're fucking everything up.
Yeah.
So, like, you need to have a bit of that solo experience, I think, before you can join a group ride.
I mean, one of the most common things you see, like, in a group ride with a new rider, they all want to take the back. They all want to be at the back.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. We've talked about this before. You don't get the back. That's an actual big job. Yeah. You don't know what it is, so fuck off. You're not taking the back. And so somehow they get themselves placed somewhere in the middle, and then you end up with two packs. That's problematic. You fucked it.
Yeah. That's why you shouldn't be there.
You should just not be there.
You shouldn't be there.
Yes.
There's no way around that. Like, if you know, someone's not riding, like, close enough, or they're riding too close, or, like, they're just not staying in their lane, like, they're crisscrossing, and they're pulling up next to people and doing fucking shit, they're not experienced enough to ride in the back. They're either just being cocky idiots, or they're just being like too cautious or self-conscious that they can't.
Yeah, that's a problem too.
So like that just says to me that both of those people need more time alone on the road before they can join.
And if you want to learn to be in a group ride, like, yeah, it takes practice and stuff, so all you need to do is get two friends and say, okay, we're going to show you the ropes. Let's do this thing and go somewhere that's got no cars. Maybe go in a fucking parking lot on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be some big, huge trek across the province. Like, just go and practice some, like, key things that, like, you know, like keeping up.
Yeah.
And stopping and signaling and alerting someone that you're going to stop.
Yeah, and here's another thing to kind of add to that. That's like, you don't really know how to do this, but like, if you took the course, this is the course comes back here. Okay. So like, if you are learning how to pack ride, another trick is to don't ride with douchebags. Because if you start learning to ride with douchebags, you're just going to ride like a fucking cunt.
Yep.
And that's a bit harder to do, because if your friends are mostly douchebags, which a lot of bikers... friends are predominantly douchebags.
Yep.
That's a given. Is like, take the course. Because when you take the course, you'll it's like learning another language. Like, you'll start to recognize things in people that you're like, that's a shit move. That's a piece of shit move right there. Like, that is so dumb that person would do that. And you start to pick out all these fucking idiots. And then you go, oh, maybe I shouldn't follow this person's instructions because they ride like a cunt based on what I now know. So I think that's valuable information that you take from the course and apply it to the bikers around you and go, oh, I get it. You suck.
And then that's also really good, because then you can be like, now I know in this group of people who I would like to pursue riding with more often.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can spot a lot of those key points. Like, just, you can look at someone at a red light and be like, yep, you just bought a bike one day, didn't you?
Yeah.
You just thought you'd do it.
Like, in a group ride of like 10 bikes, there's probably one other person that you actually will want to ride with.
Yes.
And it's because they also don't want to be there.
Yes. Okay, that's a really good segue, actually, into talking about, like, we have a few things from the bike course that, like, we continue to do, like, ready to ride position, right? And then there's things that, like, you were taught never, like, don't do that, and some of the things we just disagree on,
I mean, I'm not so sure that it's that we disagree, but I definitely have more disregard for some rules, probably. So, this is why, like, I'd say, like, you mentor more people than I would. Not because I have no patience, but also because I'm, you know, reckless.
Right. So, okay. So
I'm definitely more reckless than some.
I'm a little bit more careful, but I definitely am careful with the wild side. So you and I, especially, we do a little bit more, like, we ride pretty close together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which is a no-no.
It's a no-no, and oftentimes we'll ride side by side, and we basically have, like, conversations and tell each other a million things like in a 50 kilometer zone rolling across a bridge or whatever, and we can like make jokes and high five each other and whatever. Yeah. You're not supposed to do that. You should be riding staggered, and on any group ride that I'm in, I'm riding staggered. If anyone comes close to me, I literally hate their fucking guts for the rest of life.
Yeah, because like the point is, if you're riding on the yellow line and someone's riding up right next to you on the white line, and the person leading on the yellow is like, I want to turn, and they can't turn into another bike.
Yeah.
Like, especially in an emergency or in a quick stop or something.
Yeah.
So like, get the fuck out of the way and don't be there. You're just not supposed to.
Yeah.
That said, I'm there all the time. And like, we occasionally run into that issue where you want to pull over or do something. I can't see your signal light, so like, I don't know, you're just like, get the fuck out of my way. And I'm like, okay.
I'll take my hand off the bar and just like extend it fully, pointing, go that way. Because you can't see my signals. You don't know where the fuck we're going. You're just following the first
bike. I'm just cruising, just having a joy ride. So I'm like, oh no, I should back up now. So like, yeah. Like, but, okay. I'm not supposed to do that, but I do it anyway.
Okay, so that's like a little bit of a, it's a bit of a more of on the reckless side thing. But what we both do is full stops. To this day, we still make full stops. It's a stop sign. It's a red light. We want, we're pulling off to a stop sign. We're going to make a right-hand turn. Oh, you can see 4,000 miles away. There's no one there.
Yep.
I always put my foot down. And
always.
And if there's someone with me, which is usually you, that's a great opportunity to give a look, give a nod, make sure things are cool, carry on.
Yeah.
What are you in such a fucking big hurry for? You don't even have a first gear. Are you that afraid of first gear that you just don't want to ever stop at a stop sign? Also, kids, every car that's coming up to a stop sign is going to run it. So just because you're about to cross over some side street and you see some car like blasting up to the stop sign, don't be like, oh, it's okay, they're going to stop. They're probably not gonna. You're probably getting T-boned. So you should probably let up and watch that shit.
Yeah. And like another hard tip there is when you're coming up to a stop sign, keep your back foot on the brake or your foot on the back brake. That's a must. And like, just do not stop at a stop sign and put both feet down and take your hand off the throttle and do all the shit. Cause you're also not, you don't have any brake lights on. So no one can see you.
No one can see you. You're literally invisible.
No one knows that you're stopped because vehicles that are stopped have brake lights on.
Yes.
They all do.
Yes.
So if you don't, it's kind of assumed naturally that you are moving.
Yes.
And, you know, if they think you're moving and you're not, they're just going to crash into you.
Yes.
So keep your fucking foot on the brake, or at the very least, keep your hand on the handbrake.
Oh, my God.
Just do it.
Why? I mean, I think a lot of times people don't keep their foot on their rear brake because literally they never took a motorcycle safety course.
Yeah.
And two, they don't understand, one, the light, and Two point two.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that, like, that brake steadies you.
Yeah.
You're on a fucking hill. You're not pulling away with your 2 feet dangling down.
Yeah.
Put your foot on the goddamn brake.
Yeah, but, like, what they actually think is, like, oh, I can't handle my bike. I don't, like, they don't know where the balance is on their bike.
Yeah.
So there's like, oh, I gotta put both feet down or I'm gonna crash. It doesn't balance on its own. But, like, no. You just know how to control your bike, and then you'll be good. So, like, whenever I see people that put both feet down, my first thought is, A, you did not take a safety course, and B, you can't control your bike.
You can't control your
bike. Easy peasy. Like, one thing that I do, which is a little bit douchey, arguably, you know, but I'll admit it, I'll go up to a stop sign, and, like, I'll have my brakes on and everything, because I'm going to have a complete stop, but I won't put any feet down sometimes.
Yeah.
I will come to a full and complete stop
and with balance
with my feet on the rear brake and front brake, full stop, no feet down, pull away.
Yeah.
And I can do that because primarily I have my foot on the fucking back brake. So like I can maintain the balance of the bike. That's a thing you can do. If you don't have control over your bike because you're not using your back brake, you're going to have to put both feet down because you don't have fucking control over your bike.
Yeah.
It's annoying. So, your bike has brakes. Use them.
Yes, please use them. So, two more things that we do that we learned on the bike course. and like we continue to do them to this day, is we do generally check our tire pressure and our oil. Like, that's just kind of normal. I'm really paranoid about tire stuff, so tire pressure is it's a thing.
I religiously check oil because it's you know, very important.
Yeah.
And you won't always notice it. Yeah. Plus, Sportster's fucking piss oil.
Yours pisses a lot of oil. And the other thing that we do is, like, looking through a turn. We always look through a turn.
Yeah.
Like, you don't look down at your tires. You don't look down, like, don't look at the fucking pothole.
You're looking through down the road, way up ahead.
Where are you trying to go? That's where you look.
Yeah. That's, like, one of the single best tips for anyone that's worried about riding on windy roads.
Because
we're tight spots. Like, yeah, you just have to look ahead and your bike will go.
Because where you look is where you go.
Yeah.
And if you look down at the pothole, you might be laying down in it. So then there's some things that we don't do that we were supposed to keep doing. And all you little baby biker babies, don't listen to this stuff. You continue to do it the right way.
Yeah. In fact, if you want to call us out on doing some of this shit, by all means.
This is some pretty good horse shit. Yeah. Like, number one thing we don't do is just an overall bike check.
Yeah, no. There's no...
The tires and the oil, we've burnt a lot of oil over the years. We've blown some tires.
Yeah.
But you know what? We don't do a full fucking checky check.
No. And I'll say, even arguably, like, I don't always check my tire pressure. Like, I usually wait until the bike feels like I might be riding drunk. And I'm like, I better check my tire pressure. But, like, I kind of let it get that bad before I'll actually do it. And the rest of the bike's pretty much like that.
Yeah. So,
as my wheel starts to wobble off, then, I'll check the tension on the belt or something. Like, I'll figure that out.
There's even things that, like, you know, someone will tell you, like, oh, this is going on with your bike. And then you're like, yeah, I'll fix that. But, like, one of my signal lights has been out since last September. And I could have fixed it in September or October. And then I got the bulb, but I still didn't do it. And it's May.
Yeah.
So, you know, bike checks are important.
Important-ish, yeah.
My running light still works, just the signal doesn't work.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, my oil leak from the Sporty, like, pisses oil all over my rear brake rotor, which is super dangerous, right? But, like, whatever. I just wash it off every once in a while. And
oh, my God.
Whatever. It still stops.
So, another thing that you're supposed to do, which we never did because it's probably a little bit embarrassing. And that's, like, beeping when you're passing a vehicle.
Yeah, it's, like, the nerdiest rule ever.
I think you're supposed to do that in a car.
You're supposed to do that in cars, too.
Nobody does that. And it's too embarrassing.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah. Luckily, they don't teach you that on the course, I don't think. Do they?
Yeah. I don't remember. They have to. They have to. Because it's like, it's the rule.
For some reason, I don't remember that.
Okay, anyway, we don't do it.
But, like, you're supposed to do it. Yeah, you're supposed to, like, overtake a vehicle and be like, beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. Like, no.
No, not doing it.
Baruga! Okay. Protective gear. Now, this is where we don't entirely agree with each other.
I agree.
Okay, but you don't practice.
Exactly.
So, I think the protective gear is, like, super duper important, and I wear it.
Yeah.
So, like, last year and the year before, I think I didn't get on the bike without Kevlar pants. And I have an armored jacket. Mm-hmm. And the odd time, if I want to feel bad, like, I'll wear my denim jacket. And the whole time I'm riding, I'm like, what have I done? This was a bad idea. And then since I've upgraded, now this year I got a Kevlar hoodie. And you got your very first armored hoodie?
Thing?
Yeah, armored shirt. You got your first one.
And we'll see what happens. Because what I tend to do is be like, yeah, I'm going to ride like this. I'm going to get some better helmet, some gloves, and whatever. And then I go to ride and be like, too hot, not doing it.
Too hot, riding around in a fucking sports bra.
Yeah, like, sports bra, don't care.
And I'm like wearing full, like, 10-pound pair of pants, 10-pound jacket, full face helmet, gloves, like.
Yeah. Like, I'll boots. Have like multiple leather jackets at home and like, I'll have this, like, whatever the fuck it's called that I got, Kevlar shit. And like, it'll be probably next month. I'll be like, yeah, it's cold enough to wear this stuff. And then I'll be like, I don't know, like a Ardenne hoodie might be good enough to That's protection.
You're like, this crop top should be enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, like, I've been on the bike in, like, a tank top maybe once or twice, but it's literally to move the bike or to go, like, half a kilometer. But I don't practice that.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about that on the show before when we were talking about, like, risk and evaluating risk and comfort zone and stuff. So, like, it's just, you know, you have to balance your risk with the amount of fun and whatever you want to do.
Fun and freedom.
So some people, like, you know, they want to feel safe in order to have that much fun. And beyond that, they don't, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
And it's just like some people wearing too much safety shit. Like if I went to go all out wearing like neon suits and shit, like it's just not going to be fun. Yeah. They won't want to do it.
Yeah. It's a,
like, I'll just get in a car.
One more thing where, we don't practice the same riding is, speed limits. I have a pretty healthy respect for the speed limit. I tend to, yes, I can speed. If I was doing like a group ride, I would keep it on the speed limit or just like just above, depending on where you're riding and stuff like that. But like by default, I don't speed like crazy. You
don't speed like crazy.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
no, I do not. Absolutely not.
Yeah, but you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, she does.
Stop it.
Yeah, you go a little fast.
I go a little fast. I don't speed like crazy. I'm not like passing all these vehicles like a fucking idiot.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah, we have two different styles when it comes to speed limits.
Okay, what's your style?
I just told you. I stay.
It's just the speed limit and that's it? That's bullshit.
I stay pretty close to the speed limit, a little bit over.
A little bit. How much?
Maximum 10.
Okay. I do maximum 20.
Okay. Maybe maximum 15 if that's a really nice day. And then I look down and I go, oh shit, too fast. Oh no. Yeah. But by default, that's not how fast I'm going.
Yeah. It was way worse for me on my old Shadow because the speedometer also didn't work. So in order for me to go like, say 120, I would have to be like hitting like 145 on the speedometer.
What the fuck? What?
Yeah. Cause it didn't work.
Okay.
Yeah, it got, like, less accurate the faster you went.
Okay.
So the faster you need to go, like, there's a bigger jump in the... So after that, I just got stuck in the habit.
So you just got stuck in the habit of going 145?
Yeah, I just go about... Okay. I go about 20 over the speed limit.
Wow.
Hey, it's not until you hit 30 that they can issue a major ticket.
So. I mean, yeah, okay. I'm probably lying. Like, if we're in an 80s...
I told you were lying.
If we're in an 80 zone, I'm doing 100. But,
yes.
But I think... If I look down and see I'm doing 100, I'm probably going to drop it back down to 90. And I take it seriously when you're like doing an 80 zone and then it like drops to 50, I take that pretty seriously.
Oh, yeah.
I drop right down.
70.
No, 60 or 50.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of those end up being speed traps anyway.
Yeah.
So it's good to slow down a little bit.
What was the shittiest thing you ever watched a new rider do? It could even be me. Could have been me just dropping the bike in a fucking
parking lot. Like I said, I don't associate with too many new riders.
You don't know any new riders?
I really try to avoid that. Now, like, I've been around, like, some shitty riders that, you know, were probably worse than new riders. And, like, you know, they're just generally all over the fucking road and going too fast, going too slow, just no consistency. Yeah. And there's just no control over their bike. And then I go, okay, bye. And I leave.
Yeah. This is the year that I'm going to leave way more often. I don't care if I'm like leading a group ride and it's going real shitty. Yeah. I'm leaving. Find your own way. Goodbye. Yeah.
There was one ride that like, I know I kind of got stuck on with you and some, I'm assuming it was Lita's people, but like, We all met at the same spot.
I wasn't leading, for the record.
You were not leading. And we're like, okay, well, we're all leaving the same place at the same time. So we're all going to kind of together. And being like kind of stuck in that pack for like, I don't
know. 3 minutes.
The 5 minutes that we had to be
until my pack got lost.
Yeah.
Oh, it was brutal. God.
I was like, you know, bless you guys for putting up with that stuff. Cause I've just like, we took a shortcut through like an old tractor road to get to the highway, and then like we were gone.
Yeah.
But like, that was...
I was in the wrong pack that day.
Yeah. That was not a pack for me.
One time I watched a new rider totally like drop their bike because they pulled into like a driveway,
mm-hmm.
in like fifth gear and stalled the bike. The driveway had like where they were at was like a slight incline, and then it turned into like a hill, but
yep.
They pulled in and just fell over, just stalled the bike, did not put down their landing gear. Like their legs did not come down. They just fell over and didn't move until me and someone else went and picked up their motorcycle for them, which was flooded, and they kept trying and trying to start it, and we're like, just chill, just no, like just yeah, wait, just
leave it.
Are you fine? Are you okay? Take five, go for like a little stroll. And I just couldn't believe it, and they just laid there to die. Like it was sad. I'll never forget it, and I'll tell that story again and again. Because listen, I've met new riders that were like, they were in over their heads,
mm-hmm.
and fucking handled it like champions, to their best of their riding ability, the best of the capability of their like a smaller engine bike. Like they fucking rode their bike hard and like got to the place they needed to go. Brand new rider. And yeah. Nobody died and no one was getting killed.
And like, you know, I'm sure in a lot of those instances that it's a difference of the bike course. Because when you graduate from the course, you graduate with some level of confidence. It may not be a shit ton, but you have some level of confidence.
You do. In fact, you might even, you'll have a level of confidence, but I think you also have like just a different respect and a different fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because your goal is to be kind of careful and safe, right?
Yeah. And you've probably already dropped a bike a few times mm-hmm. on the course.
So
get that over with.
I rode up the course on my fucking helmet.
Yeah.
And I had terrible, terrible road rash on my arm. And the exercise was literally shifting gears in a corner. So I was probably in second gear.
Mm-hmm.
And the person ahead of me grabbed their brake and slowed down. And so I grabbed my front brake and did a cartwheel on my head up the pavement.
Yeah.
And I learned a very great deal of respect for the front brake.
Yeah. And, like, aren't you grateful that you did that in a parking lot on the course with instructors around?
With instructors and with
people. And not, like,
on a road?
Like, in a rotary or something?
And, like, all the people that were there with me were in the same boat. And they were genuinely like, are you cool? You're cool? Okay. Yeah. Yay, we're going to ride motorbikes.
Yeah.
And the person that was, like, teaching the course just... By the time I collected myself, I stood up, dusted myself off. I was all in one piece. And he was like, back on the horse that threw you. And he already had the bike. The bike didn't stall. I think he just picked it right back up. And I got on and went.
Yeah. I remember I crashed a bike on the course. Like, kind of crashed it. And, like, it didn't stall. Like, I dropped it and, like, landed on my, you know, feet. But with the bike underneath me on its side. But I think I still had my hand on the clutch or something.
Yeah.
Like, I was still kind of holding on to the handlebars.
Yeah.
So I just got to pop it up and
keep going. I think like the safety course is a beautiful place to like crash someone else's bike.
Yeah.
In a controlled environment. And you get the, like you learn what you need to do to continue on from the moment that you rode up the pavement on your literal head.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely an easier way to learn, you know, literally like the tipping point.
Yeah.
Of like, how far can you push, you know, this speed in this kind of a corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, just do it on someone else's bike, man.
So you know what fucking sucks?
What fucking sucks?
When people forfeit practicality and utility for the look. They don't want to ruin the look of their motorcycle. So they literally cannot take a toolkit. They can't have a windshield. They can't go on any long trips because they can't do anything to their bike that ruins the look.
Yeah. So you've basically just described like every chopper or chopper wannabe bike out there.
Perhaps.
Where it's like you're doing this literally for the look of it and not for its riding.
Yeah. I've just called out a lot of my friends right there.
Well, yeah. I think that's valid.
Like you literally, you can't take anything with you. Because you can't have any bags, backrests, you can't have a windshield. Like, you can't have anything on your bike because it won't look It won't. It won't have the look anymore.
Yeah, and like you know, to be fair, yeah, bikes that are bare bones like that, yeah, they look rudimentary and like fundamentally just like a bike. It's just so raw.
I agree.
It looks badass.
It looks fucking sweet. But you know what's lame? If you can't take anything with you, because you never know what you might need to take. It could be your wife who broke down on her bike. Mm-hmm. It could be, I don't know, the kids phoned. They got no milk. You need to take milk home. It doesn't fit in your perfectly fitted Harley jacket.
Yeah, it could be a flat of beer. Could be a bag of potatoes.
It could
like,
be...
having some. I've taken home like full lengths of like angle iron and stuff on the side of my bike.
Yeah. I've had sissy bars break off my bike, and I've had people strap them on their bikes for me, and it's like, thank you for having a bungee cord to help me right now, because mine just broke off. it's so fucking foolish. Like, you can take nothing.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of these people, like, that think that their bike looks so much cooler without that shit, you know, don't necessarily realize that some people looking at them, like us,
and a lot of people
look at bikes like that and go, oh, well, this person in the shorty helmet and no windshield and like ape hangers going down the highway is literally just going to the coffee shop.
Yeah. Hey, how's Tim Hortons going today?
Because a person like that on a bike like that doesn't go on trips.
Yeah, they go nowhere.
So it's easy to spot those sorts of people on bikes just by the way that their bike is decked out.
Yeah.
It's like, and you know, for whatever reason, like we will have like a windshield and like a, I don't know, like a luggage bag on the back, and like we're the fucking posers.
Yeah, well, like, that fucking windshield. Yeah. Oh my god, you're blocking wind. Oh, your bike looks terrible.
You got a Honda. Like
what? You have like, you have a bag that has a tent and a case of beer and a sleeping bag and a tool kit? Ew!
Yeah. Like, some days going across the Confederation Bridge, you can't do that without a windshield. It's just so fucking windy. Like, it's absurd. If you were to hit, like, any rain whatsoever, you are fucked.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, that comes back around to, these people, they're not going anywhere.
No, they're not. That's, you know, it's like we say, it's easy to spot someone that hasn't taken the course and call them a douchebag because they ride like a fucking idiot. Like, that's the same person you can spot that, like, you know, if you're wearing like a leather vest with like no shirt underneath and you're likely just a white male dude and you have no windshield and you have like these ape hangers on a Harley, you're not going anywhere.
You're not going
like anywhere. That person doesn't use their motorcycle.
Remember a couple years ago we went on a trip, and one of the people going on the trip with us had this like super super like fancy ass purple Harley with like underglow, and like it was like a super low bike, and like I don't even know what the bike was, but it was like this really fucking fancy ass Harley. And the guy, he had no way of taking anything with him on his bike.
Yeah.
Packed his fucking shit in a rolling suitcase, strapped it on your dad's bike.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to scratch his paint or ruin the look.
Yeah.
On that trip, you had old Honda 1, old Honda 2, some fucking dad bike with a fucking rolling suitcase on it. We're like decked out with like all the shit we need.
Everything wrapped in garbage bags, bungee to the
bike, wherever they can fit. Garbage bags, blue bags. Like, blue bags sailing down the highway, and this guy on his fancy, shiny Harley, he looked like he just joined a pack of bikes that were actually going somewhere.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What if your friend wasn't going with you and was like, yeah, I'll take your nerdy-ass fucking rolling suitcase? Fuck off.
At least if you have all your shit on your own bike, you can be like, I'm fucking leaving. Like,
yeah!
And, like, you don't have to worry about, like, that... You know, Jimmy has your fucking clean underpants with him.
Like, also, be ashamed of yourself that you're going to strap your dirty underpants on someone else's bike.
Yeah.
You asshole. Fuck you.
Welcome to the Saltines Podcast.
Where we'll talk about crackers and what types of things you can put on top of them.
The speed limit.
And the do's and don'ts that we learned, and then the do's and don'ts that we do and don't do now. Man. Hi. I'm Jay.
A and Jaren, and it's a podcast.
It said what?
What's the opposite of cocky idiots?
How you can be a benefit to the new rider in your life by not making the bi-sportster. That's the cat.